mind.
Russ Davis, join me for Jazz America right after the latest news on VOA 1.
I'm Steve Norman reporting. The war of words between Russia and Turkey over the downing of a Russian warplane continue, with Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan warning Moscow not to play with fire, in his words. Russia reacted angrily, threatening ties between the two countries on opposite sides in the Syrian war. French President François Hollande vowed Friday to crush what he called an army of fanatics who carried out this month's deadly terror attacks in Paris. Meantime, France's neighbor Britain is also confronting the terrorist threat. VOA spoke with British Ambassador to the United States, Peter Westmacott.
We haven't yet decided in the United Kingdom that we will take military action inside Syria, as we are already doing in Iraq. We're doing a great deal there in lots of different ways, whether it's encountering IED, airstrikes, providing weapons for the Kurds fighting back against ISIL, or whether it's providing aerial reconnaissance and refueling to other people's fighter aircraft. We're doing a huge amount there. Inside Syria, we're doing a bit less. We've been doing some train and equip like the Americans have, and we've been providing some of the overhead intelligence and reconnaissance, but we've not been taking military action there.
It has been 2 weeks since the team of Islamic State militants swept through Paris, setting off suicide vests and opening fire on innocent victims in several locations, including a crowded concert hall. In all, 130 people were killed and well over 300 were wounded. Pope Francis has praised Uganda for its response to refugees on the second leg of his African tour. Of the 500,000 refugees in Uganda, most have fled violence in the Democratic Republic of Congo and South Sudan. The Pope will also spend today in Uganda before going to the Central African Republic on Sunday. This is VOA News. At least 21 people were killed, dozens others injured in a suicide attack Friday near Nigeria's second-largest city of Kano. Suspected suicide bomber blew himself up in the middle of an annual Shia Muslim procession. A second suicide bomber was detained before he could detonate himself and was being questioned. No claim of responsibility was made for the bombing, but radical Sunni Muslim group Boko Haram has been blamed for violence in northeast Nigeria over the past 6 years. The group wants to create an Islamic State in northeastern Nigeria. Meantime, the Global Terrorism Index says Boko Haram has become the most deadly terrorist group in the world. The detention of two prominent journalists in Turkey has provoked national and international criticism. We get more now from Dorian Jones in Istanbul.
Condemnation is growing over the jailing of two leading Turkish journalists. Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, the leader of the main opposition, Republican People's Party, described the arrest as a black day for democracy and freedom of press. The U.S. Embassy, in a tweet, expressed great concern about what it said appears to be another media outlet under pressure. The editor of Turkey's Cumhuriyet newspaper, Can Dündar, and his Ankara bureau chief, Erdem Gül, are facing more than 20 years in jail on spying charges. The journalists have been prosecuted for a story alleging Turkish intelligence ran guns to Islamist groups in Syria. Prosecutors claim the story is part of a conspiracy against the government by followers of the Islamic cleric Fethullah Gülen, once an ally of President Recep Tayyip Erdogan and now a bitter rival. Dorian Jones of VOA News, Istanbul.
Human Rights Watch has accused the Saudi Arabia Red Coalition targeting civilians in Yemen, saying the kingdom and its supporters in the West have failed to provide answers over the killing of civilians. A report released by HRW Friday said neither Saudi Arabia nor the United States, which has provided intelligence and logistical assistance for the attacks, has launched an investigation into civilian deaths in Yemen. United Nations says about 5,700 people have been killed in the fighting, including more than 2,600 civilians. The United Nations said that about two-thirds of the civilian casualties were killed by airstrikes. China has sentenced three human rights activists to harsh prison terms for participating in an anti-censorship protest in 2013. The rights groups in Western nations have repeatedly expressed concern about Chinese President Xi Jinping's broad campaign to crack down on dissent among journalists, activists, and scholars. Get more news at our website. You can find us at voanews.com.
That's the latest world news from VOA. This is Russ Davis. Welcome to another edition of Jazz America here on VOA 1. In the spotlight on this edition of the program, the man they call the saxophone colossus, Sonny Rollins, will go back in time to 2006 to the International Association for Jazz Education Conference in New York City to hear from him. For years, an association known as the International Association for Jazz Education staged a conference in various cities year after year to celebrate jazz and help promote the activities of jazz musicians and those who support jazz musicians. At the 2006 event in New York City, Sonny Rollins was feted in a special presentation, and we'll listen in on that presentation and hear music from the saxophone colossus himself, Mr. Sonny Rollins, on this edition of Jazz America. Let's begin, though, with a little bit of jazz history. On the 29th of November, in the year 1915, the great composer Billy Strayhorn was born. He only lived 51 years, dying of esophageal cancer at the age of 51, and he left an incredible musical legacy, which included his own compositions and his very famous collaborations with the legendary Duke Ellington. He wrote songs by himself that Duke Ellington made famous, like Take the A-Train, and they collaborated on some of the most famous songs in all of jazz history, among them the song that begins this edition of VOA's Jazz America, Satin Doll. Duke Ellington with the late Billy Strayhorn.
Now we take it.
Miss Grace Kelly, she has been a new traditionalist, a very young, in her 20s, saxophone player who's certainly been carrying on the traditions of jazz from the past, and now on her brand new album, Trying to Figure It Out, she's trying some new things with electronics, with the artist Adam Dorn, also known as Motion Worker, remixing some of her work, as well as collaborating with the great keyboard player from New Orleans, John Batiste, on the song Lemons Make Lemonade, the funky side of the music of saxophonist Grace Kelly. from the album Trying to Figure It Out. This is Russ Davis, and this is VOA's Jazz America. Each week we have a special guest or special guests, and in this case we're going to listen in on a special presentation at the 2006 International Association for Jazz Education Conference, which occurred in New York City back then. Sonny Rollins was in the spotlight. And this IAJE conference occurred in New York City, which just happens to be Sonny Rollins' hometown.
Well, I was born in Harlem on 137th Street. Harlem was a very vibrant place at that time. There was a lot of music, a lot of clubs, a lot of speakeasies, after-hour clubs, and it was a perfect environment for someone like me that wanted to be a musician. So I was really doubly blessed by having, you know, been born there. Everything was there. All my idols lived nearby, and so Harlem was a very propitious place for Sonny Rollins to be born at. I remember listening to my one of my favorites, the great Fats Waller. I used to hear him on the radio. There was no TV at the time. It was just movies and radio. So we got all of our music from the radio and from going to the movies once a week. And we'd occasionally see musicals or some of our jazz people like Louis Armstrong would be in some of those movies in those days, 30s. And that was my exposure to them at that time. My brother was very, very good musician, classically trained. He was going to be invited to join the Pittsburgh Orchestra at that time. So he was really excellent musician. My sister was a fine pianist, and she sang in church and everything. And they were both good musicians. In my case, my mother, since I was a baby, I didn't really want to play, sit down and play scales. You know, I wanted to go out and play on the street. So she kind of let me do that. So in some ways I regret that, because I never had sort of the formal training that my brother and sister had, you know. But you know, a mother's love is a mother's love, and in a sense it was good, because I also got a lot of if I can use a current expression, street cred.
And though Sonny Rollins was born in New York City, his parents were both from the Caribbean. To be specific, the wonderful island of St. Thomas, which inspired this great song from his breakthrough album, Saxophone Colossus. Here is Sonny Rollins with St. Thomas, one of his most famous songs on Jazz America from VOA 1. Thank you.
This is Benny Green, and you're listening to Jazz America with Russ Davis on the Voice of America.
Ladies and gentlemen,
one of the phases of jazz that followed bebop was called hard bop. Horace Silver was one of the originators of hard bop jazz. So was Sonny Rollins, the great saxophonist we just heard from recently here on Jazz America. And carrying on that tradition
Benny Green, the great piano player, from his latest release, Live in Santa Cruz, recorded at the Cumbwa Jazz Center in California, the song Phoebe's Samba. Hope you enjoyed that energetic piece of piano jazz here on Jazz America. More with Sonny Rollins coming up, but first, I want to invite you to get in touch with me by email. It's very simple. I'll give you the email address to which you can write with your questions, comments, or requests for music. Here's the address, jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's jazzamerica, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. jazzamerica@voanews.com. And here's a message I've received not long ago. It reads as follows. My name is Eugene Ampadu. I'm from Ghana, West Africa. And there is no better place to have a good update on jazz than on your program. I receive it live on 98.1 VOA. Thanks a lot. Can you update me on the current trends of jazz by playing any of the masters of this generation's current work so I can appreciate it? Maybe Herbie Hancock. Thank you so much, Russ. Well, thank you so much, Eugene, and it would be my pleasure to play some Herbie Hancock for you. Now, of course, Herbie's been around for decades, and he has been through many phases of jazz, from all-acoustic, straight-ahead swingin' jazz, working with many other people in their own music, and also electrifying jazz and reflecting the current trends and rhythms of jazz from time to time. Now, here's a great example of taking a song that was originally an acoustic piece from him and turning it into an electric piece. Here's Herbie Hancock's classic song, Butterfly, from his album, This Is Da Drum, on Jazz America.
Thank you. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. A long way from home. I wish that I could fly like a bird way up in the sky. Sometimes I wish that I could fly such a long way from home. Such a long way. Freedom is near. Sometimes I feel like freedom is near. Sometimes I feel like freedom is near. But we're so far from home. Oh, you know we're so far from home.
The great guitarist John Scofield from his album Piety Street, which just happens to be the name of a recording studio in New Orleans, Louisiana, the birthplace of jazz. He was joined on that song you just heard, the classic, Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child, by the great New Orleans vocalist John Cleary. Hope you enjoyed that. And now, let's return to New York City, to the site of the 2006 International Association for Jazz Education Conference, and listen in on some more comments from the great saxophone colossus himself, Sonny Rollins, then hear another one of his classic songs here on VOA's Jazz America. And it's always fun to hear about the early years of jazz greats, and that's what we're doing with Sonny Rollins. When he was just a young man, his family moved from 137th Street in Harlem to the upper regions of Harlem in a place called Sugar Hill. And that's when the jazz experience exploded for him.
I was already into jazz by the time we moved up on the hill, which was in 1939, and I was already playing saxophone, and I had had lessons, and I had my idols, the rhythm and blues guy, Louis Jordan, who was a big devotee of his. In fact, he was really the guy that, my first guy that I said, yeah, I must play the saxophone. That happened through my uncle and his girlfriend, who they used to have a lot of blues records, country blues guys, Lonnie Johnson, Arthur Crudup, Tommy McLennan. So those guys really just strumming the guitar and really singing those real country style blues. And then she also had some Louis Jordan records, which, you know, was a saxophone, a small band, saxophone, trumpet, piano, bass, and drums, which was sort of the model for a lot of jazz, almost to this day. Instrumental jazz, small band jazz. And Louis Jordan also was playing at a club right next door to my elementary school, which was PS 89 on 135th Street on Lenox Avenue. And he was playing in a club called the Elks Rendezvous, right across the street. So when I came out of school every day, you know, he had this nice picture of him in the window, you know, and he had on this tuxedo, tails and everything, and bow tie, and he had this beautiful, shiny saxophone. So all of this stuff coalesced. So I said, well, I know this is going to be my destiny. You know, this is what I want to do. By the time I moved up on the hill in 1939, I was already into jazz, you know, and into Louis Jordan, and I had heard Coleman Hawkins also. I wanted to sound like Coleman, and of course my mother, that age, my mother bought me my first tenor.
Oh, yeah. And the story goes that he began with an alto sax with a tenor reed attached to it to try to sound more like a tenor saxophonist. Then he got that tenor saxophone from his mother, and the rest is history. Let's hear some of that history right now. Here's one of the defining songs in the Sonny Rollins repertoire, one of his compositions. He's joined on this song by Red Garland on piano, Paul Chambers on the bass, and Philly Joe Jones on the drums. And joining him on tenor saxophone, and what a treat to hear them trading licks back and forth, John Coltrane, with Sonny Rollins on Jazz America from VOA 1. Thank you. classic song from 1956, Tenor Madness. Sonny Rollins joined by John Coltrane. More with Sonny Rollins coming up next hour on Jazz America.